Prologue. Sylvan Year SY-4088. Hold the damn shield, Lagfrin!
You worry about that demon, Drogon. I will see to the shield.
Lagfrin had to scream to be heard above the noise of battle. She glanced over at the 9 other Tuatha Dé wizards maintaining the enormous bubble that was the shield holding all the other demons but one. Already they had lost 7 of their number, and with each loss, those that were left had to work that much harder to keep the shield from failing. Lagfrin could feel each one of them through the link they shared. She knew how much strength they had and which ones would fail first. With their losses, she couldn't afford to lose a single one. It was a race against time. Either the last demon would be trapped, or one of Lagfrin's wizards would fail, and the shield would fail with them. There wasn't much time left. Everything depended on these Tuatha Dé of the blood, pureborn with no corrupt interbreeding with humans or any other species. They gave their lives dearly for this world, knowing that there were no others to replace them. Not since the breaking had a pureblood been born.
Zamfa! Drogon yelled to the Atlantean Emperor. Watch your flank! The demon is sending beasts against you!
The Atlantean Emperor, tall and beautiful, his blue-tinted skin slick with sweat running down his elongated skull, and his Orinium sword coated in the black blood of demons, led his warriors against a group of indescribable creatures. The demon lord could summon these beasts, all horns, teeth, and claws, and they fought mindlessly, without regard for their own lives. Lagfrin felt helpless. All she could do was focus on the shield while the others battled the last demon lord. If they failed, she would die standing there, wasted and useless. She had no choice. Over the past several days, they had lured 13 chaos demons and 6 demon lords into the prison she and the others held, but not without a terrible price. Thousands of bodies littered the battlefield over the course of at least a league. Most of them were humans, but there were a few dwarves, elves, and Atlanteans scattered among them, and 7 of her own.
Brack! Drogon cried desperately. To the north!
A company of dwarves charged around her, led by the Mountain King, Brack Ironteeth, lord of the Diverger dwarves. They were tasked with defending the Tuatha Dé wizards, keeping the shield from failing. So far, they performed valiantly against the terrors conjured by the demon lords. Lagfrin reluctantly acknowledged that without the protection of the short, ugly creatures, many more of the blood would not be alive. For 9 days they had battled the demons. First, the chaos demons were rounded up. They were a breeze compared to what was to come. Drogon brought them in groups of 3 or 4 until all 13 were rounded up. Then he lured the demon lords in, one by one. Each of the demon lords brought new horrors that had to be overcome. They were physically powerful, with the ability to conjure minions to aid them in battle, and conjure powerful magic. Worst of all, they had psionic power, mental control that allowed them to dominate and destroy another's mind. Atlantean wizards of the Yellow Hall had similar abilities, and they kept the demon lord's psionic command at bay. Now they were facing the last of them. All but one was imprisoned behind the shield she and the others held.
Drogon, take care with your fire. My tree guardians are coming in.
It was the Sylvan Lord, High King Ralnapian Calithalon of Avalon, that spoke. The demon lord was close. She could feel him. Glancing quickly to the east, Lagfrin watched what looked like a forest moving into position in front of a fearsome beast that towered over the trees by a factor of 3. Its body was red, like the crimson of human blood, with a muscular humanoid body that bore no clothing at all. And just like the others, it was the head of the creature that sparked the fear in one's soul. Lagfrin looked away quickly, but it wasn't quick enough not to remember forever the dreadful visage bearing down on them. The great mandibles that clacked mercilessly over a wide maw, filled with rows of teeth longer than the longest broadsword, eyes blood-red and split in the center like that of a snake, and long horns protruding from the top of its head to complete the perfect nightmare. All the demon lords were distinct in their appearance one from another, in terrible, unnatural distortions of the physical world, and Lagfrin knew she would have horrendous dreams that could be attributed to each one. If nothing else, Lagfrin had the satisfaction of knowing that the process of trapping the demons in the bubble stripped them of their corporeal state, leaving only their conscious or spiritual essence alive. That was the best that they could do, short of sending them back to the infernal planes. And that was now impossible with the rift permanently closed. Lagfrin checked the link with her people and adjusted the balance and flow of the magic they shared to give relief to the weakest. It would be just a little longer. She knew that Drogon and the others were preparing to bring it in. Already the Demon Lord had sent waves of conjured demons that nearly overwhelmed them. She feared that many more would sacrifice their lives before this last horror was contained in her prison. She regretted that they did not have enough time to learn about the Demon Lords. She was aware that they all had a true name, but no clue as to what they might be. Knowing their true name would have made their task much more manageable. A Demon Lord could be quickly banished back to the infernal planes if his true name were known. As it was, the best they could do was trap them so they didn't cause any more harm in the world. A group of 100 human warriors moved to confront the Demon Lord, supported by a few dozen Atlantean wizards and elven archers. Drogon was right in the center of them, conjuring lightning and doing his best to keep the demon focused on him and moving forward. It wasn't an easy ruse. If he overplayed his deception, the demon would suspect he was being led and their plan would fail. That's where all the other combatants came in, to persecute a charade. The Demon Lord waded through the Tree Guardians, setting many of them ablaze, and still they fought on. Drogon's overall strategy was a retreating action to draw the Demon Lord into the invisible bubble that held its brethren. Fortunately, the ego of the demons worked against them, and they couldn't see past the illusion of their quarry in retreat, even when it was a methodical withdrawal.
"Forward to the line!" Brack Ironteeth commanded his company, and they rushed forward to join the fray. They just finished clearing the field of minor demons near the shield and were needed in the front line.
Lagfrin felt a sort of relief that the Demon Lord was almost within their grasp. It had been 9 days of constant battle, no sleep or reprieve, and she was exhausted. She desperately wanted it to be over. Only 10 days ago, she was standing at the edge of the rift that had somehow formed between the infernal planes and their world. She and 50 more of the Tuatha De Blood. No one could say why the breach was there, only that it was, and it had to be closed. The 13 Chaos Demons and 7 Demon Lords that had escaped through it were causing havoc across the globe. If they didn't close the rift soon, there would be no force on Earth that could stop them all. The rift was a remarkable thing, spanning over 300 leagues northwest to southeast and 50 leagues roughly east to west. It would take everything the Tuatha De had to close it. The 50 Tuatha De Blood took positions around the whole of the rift and cast their power upon it. The vast energy that they applied caused vitrification of the entire area, creating, in effect, a glass sea. Even still, the evil pervaded the section they covered, and Lagfrin knew that any civilization, even 20,000 years to come, would suffer the blight of its corruption if they settled close to it. The humans that were sent to defend against the minions conjured by the Demon Lord were all dead.
"Such a pitiful, primitive species," thought Lagfrin, "and yet we give our lives for them."
The Atlantean and Elven warriors were skillfully falling back with Drogon and the dwarves. They were so close. Another contingent of several hundred humans was brought forward. Some of them ran immediately, as was expected, but this group had a charismatic leader at its front, urging them forward, and they followed. The Demon Lord sent fire into them, and still they came. Fighting with spears and clubs, the humans gave their lives heroically. 6 times before, Lagfrin had seen this same display of courage. Each time she was impressed with the fortitude of the humans and their selfless determination. They knew what was at stake instinctively, like animals, and they feared the consequence of loss. If ever a people deserved admiration, it was this strange race, and if Lagfrin lived to see the end of this endeavor, she would weep for these people and devote her life to their evolution. She felt heat on her back and had to look to see what was happening. There was fire everywhere, but Lagfrin and her Tuatha De were harmed by none of it. Drogon was protecting the bearers of the shield with the Demon Lord almost right on top of them. Just one more step and it would be over. The Atlanteans, elves, and humans fell back along the perimeter of the shield that only they could see, while Drogon stood immediately in front of it, taunting the Demon Lord forward. It came. It came willfully and with fury. Lagfrin watched helplessly as Drogon seemed to disappear into the confines of the shield. He had not done that with the others. It horrified her to watch him vanish into the swirling mass of energy. The Demon Lord followed. They had him. But what of Drogon? They had no way of knowing what is happening inside the bubble prison.
"It is time."
Lagfrin was shocked by the sudden appearance of a woman standing next to her.
"Who are you?" "I am Metis, and it is my task to watch over and protect the confinement of the demons."
She waved her hand, and a beautifully engraved pithos the size of a human man appeared nearby.
Force the demons in here.
What about Drogon?
Lagvrin heard herself screaming. They couldn't leave him to the fate of the demons.
He has made his choice, and his sacrifice,
Metis replied. Lagvrin was overcome with emotion.
No, we cannot leave him.
Only she knew that they were lovers, and the pain of his loss would be intolerable. Metis was unrelenting.
Do it now. Your wizards do not have much strength left, and even the loss of one will cause the barrier to fall.
Recognition dawned on her. Lagvrin knew this woman, and she also knew that Metis was right. They had to finish this. She looked down the length of the line of wizards holding the shield. Lagvrin had no choice. Two were already on their knees and would collapse at any moment. They stayed upright by her will alone. As much as it pained her, she issued the command to release the shield into the pithos. The audible screams from the demons forced into confinement were almost maddening, especially since one among them could have been Drogon. When it was done, Lagvrin collapsed to her knees from exhaustion and despair, weeping bitter tears. Metis quietly completed her part, applying the final seal, trapping the demons in the pithos forever.
Over time, you will learn more about these demons, maybe even their true names. Fortunately, with prolonged confinement and the rift closed, they will weaken and lose much of their power. Pray that this world will never experience their kind again.
And then Metis and the pithos holding the demons were gone. Lagvrin stared at the spot where Metis stood for a long time. She knew that woman by another name, and then she was startled by a hand touching her shoulder. Turning to see who it was, her heart nearly leaped from her body. It was Drogon.
Where did you come from?
Lagvrin jumped up and hugged him tightly.
I thought I trapped you with the demons when we collapsed the shields into the pithos.
Drogon kissed her passionately before he answered.
Ah, dearie, I teleported myself away just before the Demon Lord was on me. I guess I went further than I expected. It took me until now to get back.
He winked at her flippantly.
I am touched by the display, though, unless you are mourning another of your lovers.
So sure of yourself,
Lagvrin chided and kissed him once again before turning serious.
Valea was the one that brought the pithos. She called herself Metis. I thought she died in the breaking.
Drogon shrugged.
She escaped the breaking and spends most of her time in Hellas now. They worship her as a goddess there. You know how vain she is. Besides, these humans need guidance.
Lagvrin knew well his vanity also.
And what do they call you there?
The question apparently caught him off guard, and his cheeks flushed a little. She expected him to lie, but to her surprise he was forthcoming.
Aether, god of light.
Perhaps I will accompany you to Hellas sometime and become a goddess as well,
she teased, barely suppressing a giggle.
But first, we must honor the men and women that died here.
Yes, Drogon agreed sadly. I will mark this place so that no one will forget what has happened here.
He turned and barked orders to his human commanders standing nearby. Collect the dead and bury them a pace apart, in rows of 10. When you are done, we will mark their graves. The commanders thumped their chests with their forearms in salute and hurried off to carry out Drogon's orders. A few hours later, Lagvrin was standing beside Drogon, looking down at the shallow graves of thousands in rows that stretched at least a league to the east. Lagvrin didn't need to say anything. She knew Drogon was just as upset about the loss of life as she was. No Tuatha De wanted to revisit the stain of the breaking that cost them so many lives less than 2,000 years before.
Link your power to me, Drogon said quietly.
Lagvrin nodded to the Tuatha De and Atlantean wizard standing behind them. To her surprise, several dozen human druids stepped up to join them. They all opened themselves to Drogon and allowed him to pull their power into himself. Even as exhausted as everyone was, she could feel each individual through the link. They still tendered an enormous amount of energy as a whole. With what he was planning, she expected that Drogon would need every ounce of it. Hands tightly clasped into fists, Drogon held his arms crossed over his chest, concentrating on the task at hand. Except for his low chant, there was not a sound from the hundreds waiting for what he would do. Not even Lagvrin knew if what he attempted was possible. Drogon's hands began to glow a golden yellow luminescence, and his chanting became more insistent. He was drawing massive amounts of power from them, perhaps more than what they could give. Then the earth beneath their feet began to tremble, subtly at first, and then becoming more violent. Drogon lifted his glowing hand slowly into the air while stone edges forced their way above the surface at the head of each of the graves. The stones grew out of the ground, thousands of them, at the same rate Drogon lifted his hands into the air, as if he were physically pulling them up from the soil. In a very real way, he was. And as the stones rose, the earth and the bodies slid beneath them, filling in the space and solidifying into perfect tombs. When it was done, a massive stone monolith, twice the height of a human man, stood to mark the grave of every man and woman that had died there. On shaking legs, Drogon turned to those assembled around him. Those brave people of every race that stood with him against the terrible evil that they were never sure they could defeat. Lagfrin was never more proud to be anywhere in her life.
As long as there is life on this earth, this place will be marked by these stones in remembrance of our brothers and sisters who died here. Even many thousands of years from now, when their meaning is a mystery and their names are forgotten, the stones will stand for them.
Drogon paused to raise one golden glowing fist into the air. It shone like a beacon of beautiful light in the waning light.
From now until the end of days, this place will be known as Karnak.